Welcome back to another episode of Cinema D'Amore. I don't know if you remember any of us, but I am Justin Morgan.
I'm James Reinhardt.
I'm Chuck Phillips.
And we might sound like we're in the void because we're essentially doing a Zoom call as our podcast. Which is funny because we have not done an episode in 6 months. Ish. We're going to be shy by a week because I was hoping that we would be able to get back together sooner, but obviously that's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, we all thought this pandemic would be 2 weeks, and here we are in August.
Yep. And so everything's been a lie up until this point. Our last episode was Bond's coming next month, and that didn't happen.
We should have just committed, come back and act like nothing had happened. And just did Bond. Just act as if the world was proceeding as normal.
Yeah, we could predate it, so the episode's dates are from that period of time.
Yeah.
Well, they were always there. We don't know why. You didn't hear them. Yeah, but people might have just thought we up and quit, and we were just, I don't know. We were around.
We were, doing what everyone's doing during pandemic, which is I don't know about you guys, but a lot of sitting around the house.
Yeah. Right? We're, I definitely don't have a job during all of this. I know Chuck's got some work, but, you're trained, Chuck.
Chuck's waiting for a train.
See, Chuck lives by a train, which is partially one of the reasons why we kind of tried to hold off on doing this. He's fine. Since he lives by it, he doesn't realize that the train's going by tooting its horn. So that's some of the fun stuff that we're going to have to deal with. Just before we started recording, my cat just started screaming because Steph came home. She's on call tonight. He's just screaming. So it's just me yelling, shut up to my cat. You have the train. And James is nice and quiet.
Yeah, I'm in our podcasting space in my house. And during pandemic, I spruced this place up for us. I'm like, oh yeah, when we come back, I have a mini fridge and I have a Keurig in here for us. And it's, it's not going to waste because Lexi works from home. So it's basically become Lexi's office.
People can't see James, but I see a mirror behind him, and I'm just expecting some apparition to appear in it.
I guess that is a creepy mirror. You can get it at IKEA though, so it's not really creepy.
All the kids want mirrors like that. It's a little ornate. It's cool looking.
Yeah, but yeah, whenever we do finally meet again in person, I have Keurig and I have a beverage-filled mini-fridge for us so we can podcast in style.
Wonderful. Yeah, I went to Boston for 2 weeks. I was planning on working there, and I figured I'd have to do something remote while there. And had to come back to Pittsburgh because the way that virus broke out. And then 2 weeks later, they forced me to go back to get my shit out of my apartment. And I still have stuff up there. My things are still in Boston, but again, today that we're recording is the 17th of August, and I was told I'd be back the 10th or the 17th, and I'm not, so I have no idea what's happening yet.
I was going to say, they haven't given you any updates or anything?
It's very wishy-washy. They've been clear with me as to what's going on, but what's going on is kind of we don't know. So,
yeah, I know the one show that's supposed to start shooting here in the spring, that I just found out that's been pushed back to next spring. And
which show is that?
Rust.
Oh, I'm not okay with this. Season 2 was here and then it left, so I don't know if that's been pushed back or just completely gone or going to a completely different place. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know not much is really happening here filming wise except for commercials.
It's a little difficult to do because no matter how, they were going to separate people as much as they possibly can. So they were trying to limit interaction with each other, no more buffet style craft service stuff. But I don't know, my show's all kids, So I don't really see them not trying to go out and do things. And you get one cast member that gets sick, like, what can you do? They can't rewrite the show anymore. So is this show, like, mine's a Netflix show. Is any of these studios going to keep trying and shutting down stuff? Because every time they send people out, that's a lot of money that just keeps getting wasted time and time again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's lots of weird questions to be had. I know Universal's resumed production on the new Jurassic Park, and I know they're having cast and crew get tested multiple times a week for that.
They kind of isolated all of them together, and they can't, like, see family or something. Like, they're not allowed to leave that premise. But, I mean, don't you think if food's being delivered, like, there's still a chance? It's like Jurassic Park, right? There's still a chance something could happen, right?
I mean, it's weird, because, like, you know,
the virus will find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Lexi and I don't really go out, except, like, I'll go out to buy groceries, or we'll get stuff delivered. And I'm working a couple days a week at Scare House.
Yeah.
But there's only a small crew of us, and we you know, maintain distance. So it is weird, but, like, I think stuff like that makes small interactions.
Yeah.
Can be pretty harmless, but...
Well, mine, like, I went shopping yesterday. This is literally the only time I have left the house, really, at all. I have pretty much been a recluse. I have not left my house because my sister's birthday's coming up, so we went shopping for her birthday, and we were out at Tanger Outlets, and, like... Oh my God, like, the whole mask thing has become this political statement, and people just, like, aren't wearing their mask right, or they're not wearing their mask at all, or, like, I saw this kid, he was, like, touching his face and touching stuff. I'm like, what's the point in bringing this kid out here, you know?
Yeah, this, you know, my mom the other day was like, oh, do you want to go to Erie for your aunt and her grandkids? And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, there's only a few of us, we can maintain social distancing. I'm like, kids are dirty. They're not gonna, you know.
You don't, I mean, still have had stuff delivered to my house, you know, and I had people in my house deliver a refrigerator because the refrigerator broke. I don't know what they brought into the house, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's like an odd year. Earlier this year, I lost my grandmother, so it's like, I'm kind of glad that they're not around anymore, because I don't think she would have survived this at all, you know? She had lung cancer and lung problems, so there's no way she would have made it through this stuff. But beyond that, beyond being cooped in the house, it's been very, very weird. It's like, there's absolutely, for our show especially, even though we're not theatrical movies, usually, we do a couple here and there, there isn't any new movies. Occasionally something on, like, Lovebirds came out and Hamilton came out on streaming and stuff like that, but, like, what, you can count them on your fingers. There's not that much that's come out. So everything I've been watching has been, like, I just started going through all these Japanese movies, and I went through some of these Western noirs, and then for some fucking reason at night I put on X-Men cartoon to fall asleep to. And then I became in. Then I'm like, I'm gonna rewatch X-Men. So I've pretty much rewatched all X-Men except for the last one. And then maybe I'll get New Mutants. Maybe not. New Mutants might just continuously get pushed back for all of eternity.
During my COVID movie watching, I did watch the new X-Men, Dark Phoenix, and you're not missing much.
I've seen it before. I remember not hating it as much as people have down-talked it, but it definitely wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. It was a very mediocre movie. Like, it was like that kind of movie where it's like, well, it's not terrible, but you're not thinking about it like 5 minutes after it ended.
Apocalypse was the same way. Apocalypse was just like, I don't know. I don't know how they dropped the ball, because Days of Future Past was pretty damn good, I thought. So you're like, okay, they're building into something cool again, and it was a sleeper. It was so boring. I mean, there were scenes that were good. Mm-hmm. I loved Michael Fassbender with the soldiers and his kids and stuff. But most of the movie, he just seemed completely bored in that movie. Like,
yeah.
He seems a little bit more interested for some reason in Dark Phoenix. I don't know what happens, but in Apocalypse, he's just, like, seems to be going through the motions.
Yeah, I would agree. He's I feel like, I don't know, maybe he just didn't like the script for Apocalypse or whatever, because, yeah, he did seem very, very bored during that, but yeah, like...
Maybe he just hated Singer, and he was like, I'm not giving that guy a performance.
Maybe. I think after a scene where his family dies, like, he doesn't really have anything to work with. He is just kind of a henchman.
He literally goes back to work, and then becomes a henchman. He literally just goes back to his job.
Yeah.
When Apocalypse finds him, he's literally working again at, like, I don't know what he even makes. He's just at some, like, molten lava factory or something. But, yeah, like, I kind of like some of the stuff in between. Like, I like the younger cast, but they don't want to follow them all the way. The newer cast, they've killed off pretty much all of them off screen. And, Jennifer Lawrence seemed interested, but not interested enough to put the makeup back on.
Yeah.
Well, it seems weird because they talk about, like, you know, be proud of who you are. And she seems like at the end of Days of Future Past, like, shit, I'm just going to stay blue all the time. This is who I am. And then the Apocalypse, she's always continuously the same. And then everyone else is like, through all the way through Dark Phoenix, it's been 40 years, and everybody looks exactly the same.
Yeah, I brought that up for Dark Phoenix, where, you know, her thing in the first class was mutant and proud. And that's Beast's character arc over these movies, but her and Beast are barely in the makeup in Dark Phoenix. I'm like, wait, they kind of, like... I get it that, like, you know, she's gotten a lot more expensive since first class, so they're probably not putting her on the makeup because they want her face out there, but...
In Apocalypse, Beast get turned blue in Days of Future Past, and then he's just a human again, and they ask him why he looks that way, and he says that he just has it more under control. That's it. It's one line.
Yeah.
But I think they did the same thing. Like, I just rewatched Deadpool 2, and there's a lot of Ryan Reynolds in it, like, without his I mean, he's got the makeup to look all, like, burnt up or whatever his mutation did to him, disfigured him. But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. That seems to happen in a lot of these movies. Like, you know, you're going to fight a lot, you know, Iron Man 3, fuck it. You're never going to be in the suit. You're always going to be Robert Downey Jr. That's what we're paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, they're paying these actors, so, you know, they got to show their face. Which is, you know, I mean, that's like a pitfall of, you know, the movie making and using these big name actors, but
they have a ton. Like, the X-Men movie is nothing but.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the no-named people? Like, a couple of the ones that started in First Class and then don't even make it really through the rest of the series?
Yeah. So, I kept tabs on my COVID watching. Cause
yeah.
When this started, I said that I was going to watch at least a movie of a day. Then around May, I realized that this is going to be happening for a while, and I slowed down a bit. But I've watched 118 movies thus far since March. Which is a lot for me. I don't know if you guys have been keeping tabs on it.
I did for the whole year. I'm at like 175, but that's all the way through January. In January, I got a ton. But I had a couple months where, like, I literally watched like 9 things or 11 things because I don't know what the hell I was. I was playing Last of Us 2, Final Fantasy Remake, 7 Remake, and Ghost of Tsushima. So, like, I was playing a lot of video games, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I only watched 9 movies. But it is weird to have so much time pass, and, like, of all those movies I watched, like, 85% of them Japanese movies from, like, the 1950s. Like, I just kept throwing those in there, and it was weird because, like, the movies from 2020, I think I've got 10 of them in there, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Chuck? Have you, how's your movie watching been during this?
The only thing I've kept track of is I started watching every Hitchcock film because I've owned almost all of them, but hadn't really even watched any of his early films, so decided to just marathon those, and I'm about 38 films in. I got 12 left.
Damn.
I asked Chuck how he knows he only has 12 left.
I think, he already made all those films. He can look them up. Unless the Lost Hitchcock film randomly appears at some point.
You got to watch Keys to Reservia. Keys to Reserva. That's what you got to finish it with. Did you ever see that?
I feel like you showed it to me a long time ago.
It's on Vimeo.
I mean, if Herman Cain can tweet from Beyond the Grave in 2020, then Hitchcock can direct a movie from the dead.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to, have one final mystery up his sleeve, and that's the lost movie that comes out in 2020.
There's a lot of things like that. Because since we're talking comics, Stan Lee was like that. He'd be like, how are you guys doing today? I'm like, you've been dead for like a year already. What are you tweeting for?
It is like after Leonard Nimoy died, it tweeted from his official account. Leonard Nimoy passed away. I'm like, who's tweeting for him?
Right. They should just change it to tribute, keep your little blue check mark and then your so-and-so tribute.
Yeah, they do that. And it's always weird because Leonard Nimoy and Roddy Piper the same way. He passed away, but people still tweeted from his account. I'm like, this is fucking morbid. Just let it go.
It takes something away from you too when you're like, Leonard Nimoy responded to me. And then after he's dead, he's still talking. You're like, well, I guess it really wasn't him probably. They just have the illusion.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch An American Pickle yet?
No, not yet.
There's a really funny moment in that, as spoiler free, I could say pretty spoiler free, where he's working on his social media, and so they're going and they're doing any tweet that he has off the top of his head, and they're like, yeah, you just use Twitter to say whatever hateful things that you want to say. So he's just sending them, and the woman's like, are you sure you want to send this stuff? And that's exactly what it sounds like.
I have a question for you, Justin.
Yeah.
Watched it. One of the funny things when that movie was filming in Pittsburgh was I remember there being a casting listing for somebody that looked like a hipster, preferably with a handlebar mustache. And because I remember a bunch of people said I had a handlebar mustache at the time. We're like, oh, you should totally apply for it. How many other hipsters with handlebar mustaches will apply? And I have to question. Is it noticeable in the film that there is a person that you can say, oh, that was probably the person that they were casting for that?
Yeah, there's a moment in the film that's a split second where Seth Rogen's character from 100 years ago is still dressed from 100 years ago, and he walks right into somebody that's dressed exactly the same as him because he's the hipster. And it's oh, I like your outfit. He's it's vintage or, So that would have probably been you.
It could have been.
I don't remember if he had a handlebar mustache, but he did have facial hair.
Our friend Brad was Seth Rogen's photo double on that.
I know. Brad knows everybody.
He does, yeah. Yeah, I worked on it a bit last year when they came back here for reshoots. So it was fun. It was fun getting to work on some of the seasons and seeing Brad standing in for Seth Rogen.
He has a picture of himself in the pickle tank. I don't know if he... it looks like he just jumped in and took it. Or is he, literally their stand-in? He's either the stand-in or he just did it for the photo. It's one of those two things.
I think he was just a stand-in.
Yeah.
For, the scenes where he's, talking to himself. Sometimes, from what I understand, Brad would be in the other place, and then they'd switch it and have Seth Rogen, do it from the other side.
Well, I know from the way that they filmed, because this is Pittsburgh... He filmed all his stuff that he has a beard with first, so he's the older character. This movie is it's on HBO Max if anybody wants to watch it. So it was filmed in Pittsburgh, but it's Pittsburgh for Brooklyn. And Seth Rogen falls into a vat of pickles, and he's pickled for 100 years, and he wakes up and finds his great-grandson. And the way that they shot it was really funny because they just shot all the old stuff first. And then they were going to go back and shoot young Seth Rogen, who shaved. And Pittsburgh weather, they didn't understand how, leaves were nicely on the ground. And then a month later, there was, a foot of snow. So I'm like, I have no idea. What I would have done is just, shot enough, covered enough of the background, and then just CG'd them in. And I kind of get a feeling like that's what they did for a lot of the movie, because a lot of the background's just, out of focus. And I'm sure that they just... We're like, fuck it.
One of my favorite things about production shooting here in Pittsburgh is what I like to call LA people discovering cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fucking amazing. They have no idea how it works. And they're always surprised when it happens. And we were shooting that concussion movie with Will Smith. And our studios here in Pittsburgh are not good.
They're bare minimum studios.
The one studio we're shooting at didn't have heating, so there were space heaters everywhere. And people from LA, where it's always warm, didn't know how space heaters and winter coats work. So multiple people were melting their coats and lighting their coats on fire from standing too close to the space heaters.
We did get mail for Seth Rogen, which was one of those battery-heated sweatshirts.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be afraid to wear it. I'd be afraid I'd go up in flames.
Yeah, there's lots of that for the costume department. You know, if we're going to be shooting outside in the cold or whatever. It's,
I got once, they're like, what do you do when you run out of salt? I said, you slide. And they're like, I'm not going to go outside. I'm like, it's unavoidable. You have to. There's really nothing else that you can do.
Yeah, you just got to deal with it.
And then the other, like, it is, it's just funny. They don't, I mean, there's a lot of things we do that makes absolutely no sense. They're like, I tried to pull onto the parkway the other day and there was a stop sign. I'm like, yep, doesn't make any sense, but that's how it is here.
Yeah.
I have about 10 feet to make it, to get up to 70 miles per hour. Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah, welcome to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just watching, playing a lot of games, I've been enjoying them as far as, like, narrative goes, too. I think I got really lucky with the stuff that I've played. But, yeah, there was on the Criterion Channel in April, they had a Mifune marathon since it would be his 100th birthday if he was still alive. So that was, like, maybe 15 movies. But then I started adding movies into it, and I just spent months watching them. Mostly watched it all in order just to kind of see how things go and the same people that they're using. Because I've been sitting on this book about Kurosawa and Mifune. Like, there's 17 movies that they've done together. And I'm like, I need to rewatch all these movies before we even go there.
Yeah.
Because it was all talking about the culture and shit that Japan was going through. Because they were basically occupied by the United States after World War II. So I saw a lot of, like, a love and hate, and there's a lot of propaganda in there for the United States. Like, their movie codes kind of revolved around what the United States wanted. Like, something James would know 100% about is, like, Godzilla, how when they, like, Americanized it with Raymond Burr, they, like, tried to take out all the nuclear science behind it to be, not be like, it was the nuclear bomb that caused Godzilla. They're like, ah, it's just something from the sea.
yeah,
but
for my viewing, I'm one of the last few people that still gets DVDs from Netflix, so I decided to use my COVID time to try and whittle down my DVD queue so I can finally cancel it.
You're gonna get COVID through your discs.
Maybe. Would that be fucking something? If I get COVID through my goddamn Netflix DVD.
You're the only person that could get it from Netflix.
But yeah, I'm down to 6 movies now left in my queue. I watched quite a few of them during my my time. I'm trying to go through my list I made on Letterboxd of COVID movies. Modern Times by Chaplin. That was one I watched. It's pretty good. Brazil, which I wasn't crazy about, by Terry Gilliam.
That's like his best movie, so. No, I'm not saying, I'm like, what else? There's not really much more to like. If you maybe like 12 Monkeys or something, but
I like 12 Monkeys, and you told me to add The Fisher King, so I added that as the last movie in my Netflix DVD queue, is The Fisher King.
Fisher King's good. I miss Robin Williams.
Yeah, don't we all? But yeah, so those are some of the movies. I mean, there's a lot. I tried to watch as many new movies as I could, but I also tried to mix in like, you know, old favorites for comfort. So it was a healthy mix for me. So I did a lot of that, and I did a lot of writing, because I always complained that I get so much writing down if I had work. And no, I didn't have work, so I'm like, well, it's time to put my money where my mouth is.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, I finished the screenplay, several drafts of it. And now I gotta figure out what to do with that. And
I saw something the other day which was 100% an idea that you've had in the past. It was a screenplay. Somebody's like, somebody needs to make a movie like this. And I'm like, James has literally wrote a script for this. And there had to probably be about 1,000 people that's like, that's the greatest idea ever. And I'm like, we got to get James's out there.
Huh, which one was this?
It was, they're like, they wanted like Jurassic Park, but like with, you know, Bigfoot and all the these different monsters and stuff.
Shit, yeah.
He literally wrote that script.
Yeah.
I still remember in school, in our screenwriting class, we had a student, Josh, and he essentially wrote the bucket list, and they told him how terrible the screenwriting teacher told him how terrible it was, that like it didn't follow the format, it was stupid because it was people just doing things. And then about a year or two later, that movie came out. And it made, like, so much money. And then it's, like, everyone refers to their bucket list when they, you know, want to do, you know, even though it's not even that great of a movie. He's like, yeah. Mm-hmm, that wasn't a good idea, so. But I'm trying to think of all the stuff that I watched that was new. I mean, I did watch Hamilton. I did think it was very good. I don't like musicals.
I watched Hamilton. It was very good.
Yeah, I was surprised. I think it's because I kind of like hip-hop, so it tricked me. It did confuse me a little bit when characters started to play different characters, because I thought the wife was having an affair, but then it was like Hamilton's 9-year-old son played by a guy that we saw earlier. So I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
The
French guy comes back as Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, oh, then they, yeah, exactly. And then I saw this stuff afterwards where they were like, it's just trying to make Hamilton a good person. I'm like, listed a lot of his fucking faults if he was supposed to be seen as a good person. Everything about him was like, he had ambition, but he, like, he had slaves and he made all these mistakes and stuff. So, I don't know. I don't think they've put him in a good light.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about Hamilton's life to really comment on how they portrayed him, but I thought they showed him to be a pretty flawed human being.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I watched. I watched Lovebirds on Netflix, but it wasn't as good as I'd hoped it was when I saw the trailer.
I didn't watch that yet.
I've been sitting on things. I've had Birds of Prey, I've been sitting on that.
It's good. It's on HBO now.
I own it, too. But that's me. But the last things I saw in theaters was I saw a double feature of Onward with Invisible Man. And then that's, like, when everything hit. Like, theaters weren't even open the next week. Mm-hmm. And both of those things were, like, on demand within, like, 2 weeks. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I saw... Invisible Man is the last thing I saw in theaters. And then, you know, there's talk of opening Christopher Nolan's Tenet, like, city by city. And I'm debating on if when it opens here in Pittsburgh, if I want to go or not.
Somebody said it. I'm sorry if it's you, Chuck, or maybe it was somebody else. But they're like, what if Tenet's not even good? All this build up. Like, I'm excited about Bill and Ted 3, and at least that's still getting, like, an on-demand release. But everything else, like, even though 6 months have passed, and we were talking about Bond, it dawned on me, like, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, we still never got No Time to Die. I was excited about that for, like, 2 years. Once he said he was signed back on, and they're bringing all these people back, and they're finishing off that arc, and I'm like hoping it's good because Spectre was not very good. So I'm like, yeah, I just wanted them to finish off the Bond stories hopefully well. And we were only a couple weeks away from that, and then COVID hit. But then we've lost so much. Like, there was the Top Gun sequel and Tenet, like you said, and Marvel movies got pushed back, Disney movies, Mulan. Mulan's like $30 if you want to see that on Disney Plus, but Artemis Fowl, that's just part of it.
Artemis Fowl was one of my COVID movies. I watched that.
Was it any good?
No, it was pretty bad. it wasn't like the fun bad. It was just like a not well made movie. It's definitely not worth your time.
I haven't watched too many bad movies, because most of the foreign things I ended up really enjoying. I watched some documentaries and stuff, too. But what the hell was, I'm losing my train of thought here. There's something that I watched that was, like, absolutely terrible. I don't remember. I don't know where I was going.
Return of Swamp Thing, I watched that. That was pretty terrible. I knew that, though, going in. For some reason, I rewatched both Swamp Thing movies, and they were what I was expecting. Sonic, I watched that. That was it's mediocre. It was what I was expecting it to be.
I liked Sonic, but it was like Jim Carrey made that movie for me. I didn't. It's weird. The character of Sonic was kind of like that, and like annoying kids character, but Jim Carrey was like 90s Jim Carrey that I loved. So like everything with him just like made the movie for me. But nothing else was like that exciting. I think it was like, yeah, did you say mediocre?
Yeah.
It's like a pretty entertaining Jim Carrey experience. I give that like a 10 in a kind of mediocre movie. But the humor was just like this weird, dumb meta humor that like Olive Garden and all this other kind of stuff that like it was funny.
Yeah, I watched Scoob, the new Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah,
that was pretty mediocre too. It like it didn't really have any of the fun you associate with Scooby-Doo. Like it was more of like a superhero team-up movie with all these different Hanna-Barbera characters.
That was the weird thing. I saw that movie too, and that's what the end seemed like, just by the credits, was they want to do like a whole Hanna-Barbera universe. Like they're showing like Grape Ape and like all the other Jabberjaws and stuff, and it's like, just get ready, because we're going to make all of these movies.
Yeah, I thought that too, and I'm like, does anyone care about these characters other than Scooby-Doo? Like, Scooby-Doo's popularity has transcended that, but like, I don't care about Captain Caveman. Like, I'm not gonna, or Blue Falcon, like, I'm not gonna see a movie of those guys in it.
I laughed because the next morning I had already known who the villain of Scoob was, and I was like, I didn't think I was gonna wake up to getting Scoob spoiled for me by the internet, but you know.
I watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which I knew was
just crazy. Annihilation.
Just Annihilation, and it was we did For with Nerd Club, the tradition started us all. Our theme was franchises that went off the rails, and we watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation for someone's pick.
I'd say that was barely on the rails with only the first movie.
The main villain from Mortal Kombat was in one of my X-Men movies.
Shao Kahn?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which one. I guess I would guess the Wolverine if I were to just take a stab at it.
I watched the new Hellboy.
Shredder was in that too, from the Michael Bay ones.
Oh, Shredder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Bay's Shredder was pretty bad. The new Hellboy, that was pretty mediocre.
Oh, I watched the end of it. It was the worst. I watched like 10, 15 minutes of it because it was on HBO, and I'm like, this is really bad. Like, no jokes stuck. It was like, you could tell that David Harbour really wanted to be funny, but not all the jokes like fell flat.
It felt like a sequel to a Hellboy movie that had never been made, because like every 10 minutes, like a villain comes out and is like, "I'm gonna kill you, Hellboy," and the film has to like stop in its place to explain who this new villain is and why they hate Hellboy. And like so, like it just felt like there should have been a movie or two before this to explain like who these people were, why they hated Hellboy, but other than that, it was still pretty bad.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of it was like rehashing things that were in the first Hellboy movie. Like,
yeah, but not well.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of show it to you again. Bruce Wayne's parents died again. That kind of crap. No, but been playing some Batman games too. Not the Telltale games. I replayed them, the first one, for some reason, because I played the first one on Switch, and when I got to the end, there was like some weird random glitch, and I could not finish the game because it couldn't remember my save data or something. I couldn't figure. I made too many choices. It was just like, I don't know what to do.
That sucks.
But yeah, I started that up again, and reading some comics. Like, I read all the Frank Miller comics, the three Batmans that he did. Well, he's done more than three, but the Dark Knight ones. I finished World War Hulk, and then I started reading Why the Last Man.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't get far in that. But I did pick up Kraven's Last Hunt and Old Man Logan, and I have like the original Amazing Spider-Man's. I don't know how many it goes up to, but like the first run of them.
I saw you post about Kraven's Last Hunt, and I highly approve. That's one of my favorite Spider-Man stories. But Old Man Logan is also great. I highly approve of that as well.
Yeah, I just keep like picking them up, and I'm like, what? Basically, I'm just like, what's the best story? You know, where to start?
I've been getting back into comics as well. I read a Best of Judge Dredd compilation, because I never read Judge Dredd comics before. I always wanted to. And then I read a first volume of Alien vs. Predator comics, which is all... They're both pretty, I mean, Judge Dredd is really good. The AVP comics.
Was it that hardback AVP one? I saw that at the bookstore.
No, it's not hardback. It's like a trade paperback. Oh. But, yeah, I never read any AVP either, so I'm like, I'll give a decent shot. And there's a cat in Chuck's video now.
An asshole's right next to his face.
Literally.
No, that's just my face.
Oh. Then what's next to it?
Aw, cat. and the cat's out of here. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah,
I was like... I don't know. I got too much stuff to read, too. I read a couple Stephen King stories, novels, and then his If It Bleeds short stories. And then I decided to pick up, what the hell did I start reading? Talisman. And it's rough. Like, I kind of got like 100 pages into it and just have not got back into it for a good month now. Because...
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was gonna say he wrote it with Peter Straub, so like it doesn't even feel like Stephen King. So I don't think he wrote most of it, or he wrote a treatment for it. But it's so weird and out there.
I read that back in high school, and I remember kind of like I didn't love it, but I was like, this is a enjoyable enough book. But I feel like in high school is like the age you should read that. Like, I feel like if I read it now, I probably wouldn't dig it.
There was weird stuff in it, like his mom has cancer, but she won't say it. It takes place in the 70s, not that I think that you would be trying to hide that you have cancer. So they go to, like, Connecticut or something. He doesn't know why he's there. He has so many questions about why he's there or what's going on with his mom. And his uncle wants to visit. And then there's this guy that's, like, runs a carnival, and he's... teaching him about this like parallel dimension he can go to, and then the lobby boy or whatever is like extremely racist, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening so far in this book?
I'm listening to the audiobook for Stephen King's The Outsider right now.
Yeah,
probably gonna, I'm gonna watch the show once I finish it, but I really enjoy it. Like, I haven't read a new Stephen King book because I've always been kind of afraid that maybe he's lost his touch, but The Outsider, he's still fucking on top of his game with this one.
He's got a different voice than he used to have, but I think he's still a really good writer. The Outsider, you have to read If It Bleeds after, because one of the short stories is kind of like a sequel to that.
Huh. I know Holly Gibney, I know she's a recurring character in his books now.
Well, that what's actually kind of funny is I read he did a Bill Hodges trilogy. Mm-hmm. So it's Mr. Mercedes, Finders Keepers, End of Watch. I had not read End of Watch. I picked up Outsider first. And then she jumped into it. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to ruin the third book. And they do. They kind of ruin some of the third book. And then I started reading If It Bleeds, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, I already have the third book ruined. It ruined more of the third book for me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's what I get for not picking up that book. usually he doesn't do that. Like, if he ties in something old, it's, like, not as direct, and it's, like, usually something from a long time ago. Like, it's, like, a Salem's Lot reference or something. Like, you know, like, it's way far back, not something, like, if you didn't read last year's book, well, guess what?
Yeah. There's a part in The Outsider where Holly, for those of you who haven't read or watched the show, she's a private detective, and she's a movie buff. But she mentions that she's watching Kubrick's Paths of Glory, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's so much better than his adaptation of The Shining. I'm like, wait, The Shining exists in this universe? That means Stephen King exists. I'm like, oh, wait, what a Dark Tower, that makes sense. Then I thought, wait, is he still bitter over The Shining? Like, does he have anything else going on? That he's still going to get shot?
That'll be in his obituary. Like,
yeah.
Loving father, caring husband. Hated Stanley Kubrick till his dying day.
Well, that reminds me of there's a in season 2 of Love, which is on Netflix. There's a moment where the characters get talking, and they're talking about how the characters in Friends have talk about Die Hard, and they talk about Die Hard a lot. And then Bruce Willis shows up in that show, but they don't act like it's Bruce Willis, and they're making fun of that concept. Well, there was a Home Alone reference, and then Daniel Stern ends up being the one character's father. And they did the exact same thing, where it's like, Home Alone clearly exists in this universe, but no one mentions that he looks just like Marv from Home Alone or something, you know? So, that's what happens in the Stephen King universe.
Apparently, yeah.
Did you watch any of the show, or are you holding off on it?
I'm holding off until I finish the book.
Yeah. It's okay.
Well, you know, I really like the book, so I was curious to see how they adapted it.
Institute's pretty good.
I haven't seen, well, read that. Is that a show, too?
It will be, because literally any book that he comes out with, like, he just did, that If It Bleeds, and they said that, I guess, the Outsider show is going to pick up the short story from that, I guess, to potentially put into, like, a second season or another season.
Oh, yeah.
And then the three other ones got optioned by Aronofsky and Ben Stiller and, like, Ryan Murphy or something like that.
Huh.
It's like it just came out and everyone's like, I want one. I want a shot at that. So we'll see. I'm excited about Darren Aronofsky's because that was my favorite story and he's one of my favorite directors, so I'm interested to see how that plays out. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess this might be interesting for people that are listening because we haven't really talked movies much at all, like on Twitter a little bit, me and James or something, but yeah, not too much. So like as far as the podcast goes, we're clearly not ending the podcast and we're going to continue going on with that. But as far as, like, the themes and stuff, I don't know if we're going to, you know, jump into the theme next, or we might do a couple episodes like this, you know, maybe keep it a little bit focused or play around and do something new. But you'll still get some sort of content for a while. And we'll try not to leave you hanging ever for 6 months ever again.
I think people understand that we left them hanging for six months. You know, because, you know, the country left everyone hanging for 6 months.
We're trying to be responsible. We're just trying to, you know, not... You know, my wife works in a hospital. It'd be very easy for me to maybe catch something. And so it doesn't really make a lot of sense for us to meet up and be in a room together when, yeah, the quality of it's going to sound a lot better on our mixer and everything, but this is how it has to be. It's like Chuck was saying earlier before we started doing this, it's like the quality of everything has went down. Like, any show that you've watched, like, even, like, SNL, like, everything was just, like, Zoom jokes, you know?
Yeah.
There was a horror movie all done completely via Zoom, just came out on Shudder, called Host.
Did they film it all during the pandemic? Like, they made it during all this stuff?
Yeah, it shouldn't work, because it takes place during the pandemic, and it was shot during the pandemic. It's only, like, an hour long, but, I mean, the concept's pretty simple. They're a bunch of friends meet over Zoom to do a seance. And, of course, shenanigans happen. But it's pretty well done. It's pretty effective. There are some, like, logic things, like, why are these characters bringing their computer with them everywhere?
Yeah.
But it's solid for a film shot.
Why not? That's what I say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you got the idea and it's cheap to do, then do it, you know. But yeah, if you guys, if anyone has Shudder, that's something to check out.
I was going to get... apply for like the free Shudder to watch Creepshow, and then it was like, you've already had Shudder, you can't get it for free. And I was like, son of a bitch. When they offered it like Pandemic, like a free month of it or whatever, I was like, I'm gonna go back and watch Creepshow. I went back to CBS All Access to watch The Twilight Zone, which I thought the first season sucked, and the second season was mediocre. So at least it got better, but it still wasn't great.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it's like the first season wasn't subtle at all, and then there were a couple subtle episodes in the second season. But like, I don't know what I don't know what they're doing. Like they're fucking it up somehow, because they're like, they're too worried about making this statement about something that I don't think that they understand, you know? I know James just watched it. I watched it today, Lovecraft Country. And I won't spoil it too much, but the way that it portrays, like, the terror that black people were going through in the 1950s, and, like, it's really intense. And then there's episodes of The Twilight Zone that are written, like, it looks like you read a news article. It doesn't look like you've experienced, it doesn't feel like you've experienced any of the stuff that you're trying to tell. And that was interesting, too. Lovecraft Country, to be clear. I saw an article earlier today where they said it's one of the first ones where, like, the orchestra was, like, completely, like, Zoom things. So I don't know how they did it. Like, they weren't together. So all the instruments sound like they were recorded separately and then composed digitally and then added to the show.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
It's cool, but it probably sucks. You know what
I mean? I mean, I'm sure, you know, getting that sound together
really
fucking sucked for whoever had to edit the music or whatever.
Yeah, Michael Giacchino's, like, behind some computer editor, and he's like, get it, you know, no, mix it this way. I want it to sound like that.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but the new Batman movies could be resumed filming in 2 weeks, I think, and supposedly, according to rumors, they, like, built all indoor sets for it. I guess for pandemic reasons, they rebuilt everything indoors, which I'm like, that's gotta be a fucking pain in the ass, but
it might be.
Do what you gotta do.
Hey, listen, you saw all the effects that went into The Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
That blows my mind. I literally thought that a lot of the stuff that I was seeing there was shot out in the desert or something. Everything, not one thing's outside. They did this cool, like, thing with LED lights. So, like, they showed the background on it, and it has a really cool effect with, like, glass and metal and stuff like that. So if there's a reflection, it shows it. And it's something that's, like, really hard to do with CG. So that's why everything kind of looks so, like, supernatural. Well, not supernatural, but extremely natural. And I think that's why I'm, like, thinking everything's outside. I mean, obviously, I know there's not people, like, floating on bikes and shit like that. But I'm like, yeah, they definitely filmed that in the desert. Why wouldn't they? So there's hope for the Batman. Watch it be, like, really obviously a set.
I mean, I don't think, you know, I from what I understand, that didn't cause the script to change. And I don't think that's going to dictate the quality of it, because most of the Tim Burton Batman movies were shot indoors. I just thought it must be a pain in the ass to have built all that shit inside.
Well, yeah, the Batman, the Tim Burton ones have, like, matte paintings. Like, it's not even trying to look realistic, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, supposedly we're going to be getting the first footage from Batman in a week here at the DC fandom event. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Well, one of the ones I read was Long Halloween, which you said is your favorite.
Yep.
And, I can kind of see it going somewhat that way, because reading the, you know, The Dark Knight and some of, obviously some of the Long Halloween kind of made parts of it, had made it into Nolan's movies. It's a little bit of a mix of those things. So I could see them kind of going that route, where it seems like the new Batman movie is going to have a lot of villains in it, like, that are already going to be established in some fashion.
Yeah, I hear that too.
either that or it's going to be one of those really weird fucking cameo things where, like, Colin Farrell is Oswald Cobblepot, but he never becomes a penguin. He's just in it for 2 seconds, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we don't really know anything about it, so.
I'm excited for it solely because it's Matt Reeves, and that's usually what I do. I go with the director. I look at the last several things that they've done, and I'm like, he's a competent director. I'm sure it'll be a good movie.
Yeah, that's my feeling, too. I'm like, Matt Reeves has made some pretty damn good movies, so I'm sure this will be pretty good as well.
Could he drop the ball? Sure, anybody can, but I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we'll get Bill and Ted soon, so that kind of excites me still.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that.
I think it looks great. I heard we're getting 2 more John Wicks. They're going to be filmed back-to-back.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Keanu's not... Cyberpunk's coming out at the end of the year, so we're getting plenty of Keanu Reeves.
Can't have too much Keanu.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I watched the Matrix sequels in my...
Just the sequels?
Just the sequels.
Okay.
I'd never seen them before, so I decided to watch them. They're okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I like them. I never hated them as much as everybody else hated them, but I felt like they could have maybe been their own movies and been a little bit better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I didn't hate them. There was one point where I was like, I have no idea what the plot is. but yeah, overall, I thought they were okay.
My favorite part of that was when the Oracle died, and so they replaced her, and they made this like really awkward scene about how she looks different. And they had to explain it, and I'm like, this is just really, just does not fit what's happening so far in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting Matrix 4, so that's cool. And we're getting Scream 5. So everything that I like, they're going to do another movie.
And then Halloween, we can't do a Halloween episode this year, because Halloween Kills got pushed back.
We were really excited because we were like, hey, all our anniversary episodes are going to be Halloween episodes. COVID fucked that up for you. But I saw the trailer for Halloween Kills, and I'm like, that's awesome. And then the date came up a year later, and I'm like, God damn it. But it makes sense. You know, like, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, too. I mean... I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, just release it VOD. But the last Halloween's made so much money, it wouldn't really make sense to release a potential blockbuster on VOD. We'll have to find something different to do.
Oh, that's in like the Saw movie, Spiral, with Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson. I was like, I was excited to see that, and then that's gone.
Yeah, I thought that looked good, too.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, because pretty much everything will get pushed back a year, productions will be pushed back a year, so... It's not like you're going to be... This is our time without movies. Although next year, I guarantee you, we get a shit ton of animation. Like, a ton of it.
I got, like, an email from, like, WB, like, PR or whatever, being like, new Wonder Woman merchandise in stock. See Wonder Woman 1984 in theaters on October 2nd. And I'm like, is it, though? Like, do you really think it's still going to come out on October? I mean, I'm really excited for Wonder Woman 1984.
I had Dorito bags that said comes out in July. I'm like, should I eat these? Are they collector items? I doubt anything's going to come out in October.
I doubt that too.
It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily want to pay $20 for Bill and Ted with like the pass that I had with AMC at the time. You know, I'm basically paying like $1 something a movie, $3 a movie or something, because I had 12 movies for $20. And then I guess it'd be $3.33 or something like that. But so now the video on demand stuff comes out and they're like, it's $20, $30. And I wanted to watch King of Staten Island, and I was like, I'll just wait to buy it, because you know, it's just me and my wife, or sometimes she doesn't even want to watch what I want to watch, so I don't want to pay, like, a $20 ticket to watch something on my TV.
Yeah. Drive-ins are making a comeback, though. My brother and I, at the end of the month, probably see Evil Dead is showing at a drive-in around here.
I laugh because I don't know if it's true, but I grew up in Belle Vernon, and there was a movie theater that they had torn down and made into Walmart. And now they have Walmarts that are doing making them into drive-in theaters. So I don't know if that's one of them, but it should be.
I don't know. I mean, the Evil Dead one is showing in Vandergrift, which is like an hour
from there. Oh, yeah, Vandergrift. We filmed Banshee there.
Yeah, I was going to say Banshee shot there.
There was, like, drug busts and, like, pedophile rings, like, constantly being found out down there.
In the show or in real life?
Real life.
Oh.
I mean, in the show, too, I think it's pretty crazy, but they would do, like, weird busts. There was, like, a weird sex trafficking thing that they've caught. And I'm like, what the fuck's happened in Vandergrift? Like, it's not even that big of a place. But it does have that air. Like, somebody's car got stolen. Just straight up stolen. Their rental car.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Vandergrift was a shady place, but I didn't know that.
Well, don't leave your car. Stay in it through the whole movie.
That's true. I probably will. But it did show it a drive-in closer to here at the end of July, but I missed that. So it's... So it's Vandergrift for me instead.
I missed out some. There was one that was doing Jaws and Jurassic Park, and I'm like, ooh, I would definitely watch that. And then one was like the whole Back to the Future trilogy, and I'm like, that might be kind of long to watch, you know, after I get started. I'm an old man now, so I'd be asleep halfway during the second movie.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, we'll have some interesting things happening. So you might be surprised that we popped up on your Apple podcast again, like as a new episode downloading. You're like, what the hell is this shit? So we're back.
It's a COVID surprise, everyone.
Should we call it that? A COVID surprise?
A COVID surprise.
That doesn't sound... people will think it's a conspiracy podcast, and then they'll be upset that it's not.
The COVID special, maybe?
The truth about COVID. I bet you we get a ton of downloads. Just
movies.
For the...
Yeah. Movies at the time of COVID.
Yeah. We can make it out to be like the what the government doesn't want you to know. And then it's me being like, I watched a bunch of X-Men films. And you're like, then we talk about Dark Phoenix for 3 minutes and move on. And then maybe we get New Mutants. So maybe we'll have to talk all about it. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
we're never going to see New Mutants.
I remember talking about it in our 2017 horror podcast, being like, yeah, this movie sounds really interesting, and here we are in 2020, it's still not out yet.
It's so weird, because they won't change the date, and people are like, is it still going to come out? Because AMC and Regal and everything's planning to open up at the end of the month for some reason.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, as much as I love movies, I wouldn't even risk going to a fucking movie. They're doing a thing like 15 cents, you know, for their 100th year anniversary or something, AMC. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. AMC that around for 100 years? But they're doing old pricing like that to get people in there. It's like, hell, yeah, right. You know, bargain people, they're all going to go for 15 cents. They're going to be packed in there with people.
Yeah, like I said, that's why, like, if Tenet does come out, I'm debating what if I do want to see it. But I feel like if I do, I'm probably seeing it, like, the middle of the day when, like, nobody else is in the theater.
That's what you think until you get in the theater. And this is what happens to me before COVID. You're sitting in the theater, somebody walks in, and they sit down right next to you. And you're like, it's a fucking empty theater. You really chose the seat right next to me?
Yeah, it's like, you know, work at Scarehouse. We are moving into a new space. At one point, I was in, like, a sushi restaurant to get lunch. And I was just, like, waiting. Like, there's only one other person in the restaurant with me. And, you know, we had our masks on and stuff. And a dude, like, shuffles past me, bumps into me. And I'm like, it's not like this is a crowded restaurant.
Right.
Like, you have plenty of room to walk around me. Like, why are you bumping into me during a fucking pandemic?
He's angry.
It's like an old guy, but I'm like, all right, still, dude. Like,
on my computer screen, there's a tiny spider in front of your face, James, crawling on you. It's on my screen. You can't see it. It's probably poisonous.
You're a spider, you deal with it.
Hopefully it's radioactive, and then I get some powers.
Well, that'd be cool if you got superpowers.
Yeah. I've been watching, you know, all these X-Men movies. I keep thinking, if I ever had a power, it'd probably be the dumbest power of all time. Like in the Last Stand, they started adding classes. They're just randomly, like, hurricanes or something. They're like, that's a class... A 5 X-Men. I'm like, I would be a class 1 X-Men, which doesn't make any sense because you know that meme where Magneto's like, stop, we send the pawns first. Those are literally the mutants that don't have any goddamn powers. Like, what's my power? I can change the color of my skin to whatever I'm touching, like a chameleon, but I'm running headfirst into fucking war. Yeah. I don't know. You have the metal power. Why don't you just start fucking throwing metal at these people or something? You wasted all the time showing off the Golden Gate Bridge that you ripped out of the ground here. But yeah. Sorry I ruined the podcast by talking about hypothetical superpowers.
No, that's all right. But yeah, movies in the time of COVID, that's what you should name this episode.
Okay. That is what we did. Well, we are Cinema de More. We're back. We have a Twitter. We'll start using it again, at Cinema de More. Facebook, I guess we'll start using that again, too. We haven't been using anything. There's only so many times that you can post a picture of Gene Hackman, you know, with his apartment all ripped up. And like, what are you guys watching? Yeah. But, I'm around too. Twitter, JJMorgan19 for me.
James Reinhardt for me.
Chuck366.
And we'll be back next week with something. Another COVID surprise, as James puts it.
COVID surprise. Tune in next week, everyone.
Thank you.